Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Randolph Cockrell Jr. on the line with me. He's a supporting actor and has done great works in the industry. He's been on roles on TV One, HBO, Netflix, but I'm going to let him tell you what he does. Randolph, say hi and let the people know what's going on.
Hi, guys. I'm Randolph Cockrell. I'm an actor from Baltimore, Maryland. Like Nigeria mentioned, you know, I've done a lot of TV stuff, a movie, stage. I started out with a little stage.
Oh, okay.
And, we have a show that's running on HBO called We Own the City.
Let me tell you, I just started watching that, and I think this is definitely by no coincidence. I just got tuned into that show, and I absolutely love it. But how did you get into acting?
A friend of mine actually would always say, oh, man, you're funny, you're well-spoken. I think that you have a face where you could do some TV stuff. So I was like, okay, I've never taken any acting classes. You know, I didn't necessarily take what he said seriously. And he suggested that one of his friends was having a play that they were auditioning people for and to just go try out for the play. So I'm thinking, okay, it must be some little rinky dink show. Okay, that would be a good thing to get my feet wet. So I went down and I went down and auditioned for it, and come to find out it was like a big, big deal. Like sold out engagement every night. Yeah, and I got the lead. So like the comedic lead. And it was a big turning point, and just so happened that a casting director was in the audience that night, and you know, God just took it from there. And I've been super blessed that since then. I think I've read for a part once. Like I get cast into things just from my body of work and relationships that I've built. I guess that I fit the mold of the characters.
Right.
So it's really been a blessing.
Yeah, you said something that I tell everybody, relationship is the new currency. And it's always a blessing when someone can see your talent before you acknowledge it. When your friend was like, you know, I think you will be good for it. And you're kind of like, and then to underestimate. But the blessing is you kept the appointment and now look at you. So what do you...
Yeah, I agree completely.
So what do you like better, stage or film, TV? What do you prefer?
I got to be honest, I absolutely hate stage. I got to tell you, I do not like it. I do not like the overacting bit. I don't like the over-the-top thing that you have to really raise your voice. That everything is about gestures and physicality. It's not about your face or smizing or facial expressions. It's about this over-the-top movement, and I don't feel like people are sucked into the acting as much as they are the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole different experience.
Okay.
And I'm sure that you've seen plays, and there's a major difference between plays and African-American plays. And
can you please talk about it? Can you please talk
about it? I'm being realistic about it. Like, I love my people.
Right.
I love my people. But I'm so realistic about it. Like it's just too over the top for my personality.
Okay.
Like I'm very reserved in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that it just takes me out of a comfort zone. Not that I necessarily mind moving out of a comfort zone.
Right.
But I don't feel like I can comfortably portray a person with a level of realism when it doesn't necessarily take acting as much as a bunch of gestures and bouncing around and sort of screaming the lines rather than delivering them with precision.
Okay. And when you're acting, how do you feel and perceive yourself as an actor?
I love the subtlety of television and movies.
Okay.
Because you can have a scene where people don't have to speak a word. But they can zoom into your face and the expressions and everything, the look, the eyes.
Yes.
Like, it's so many things that you can do without even speaking. You don't need gestures. You don't need body movement. Acting is done cerebrally on television and in movies. And I love that factor of it.
What has been one of your favorite roles you played?
To be honest, I have roles of run the gamut from murderers and pimps and to cops and police commissioners. You know, I've been dads and like it's all over the place. But to be honest, my favorite role to date, I was a serial killer.
And oh my goodness.
the portrayal of this, yeah, it was, and it was a true story about a serial killer here in Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow.
And to tell that story, and I had to really immerse myself in the character to become extremely dark.
Right.
And it was challenging because, you know, I don't really tap into that often. Thank God I don't have to. And yeah, to bring out that facet of myself was incredible to watch on screen.
Mm. So are you too critical with yourself when you watch yourself on screen? Or, you know, some people are like, oh, I didn't even see the movie because I didn't want to, you know, I can't watch myself on screen, you know. I'm always like,
who's been talking to you? Because let me tell you, I've never watched myself when things air. Never.
What?
I'll go to social media. I'll make a post and say, hey, guys, I'm going to be appearing on this particular network tonight. Or whatever date, look out for it. When you see it, tag me in it, you know, take screenshots, whatever, tell me how I did. Because it just gives me so much anxiety. I'll sit there and critique and over critique my performance. It's all
terrible.
Oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I'll see all the mistakes. I'll remember every take and say, oh, I should have done that. And I'll sit there and pick it apart. So what I do, I wait for everyone to chime in and then I'll build up the nerve to go and watch it later on. Yeah.
Wow. So then how do you deal with the criticism? If someone says, oh, that was horrible, you shouldn't have took the role, that movie was whack.
You want to hear something crazy?
Come on, tell it to me.
I have yet to have it happen.
Okay, good. Excellent.
I've been incredibly blessed to have been associated with just superb production, superb cast, big time actors, great scripts and writing, amazing networks that put in a budget that can really make things believable.
Okay.
You know, CGI, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things that you can do to, you know, just really make the experience authentic.
Right.
So, and I've given my very best in performances. So I've been super blessed to have never had read a bad critique where someone said, oh, that was horrible, or your show was terrible, or you just did an awful job. I've really been blessed to have gotten nothing but accolades and praise in the performances that people have seen thus far. And I am ecstatic about that. I know it's not going to land.
No, let's keep the positive.
It's the law of averages. It's the law of averages. You got chaos theory says even a Will Smith, you know, everybody has a bomb eventually. Everyone has a bomb eventually. He even has, you know, Wild Wild West. It's going to happen. It can't not happen. So, you know, everyone's had one. So I'm waiting for the stinker, but thank God it hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's good. You know, I think if you're confident about your work, you put in the work to be the best person you can be, you have a right to be mm-hmm. confident in what you do, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
It still seems like people still want to curse you and put, oh, you think you all of that, or, you know, this negative connotation on everything. And I'm just talking from experience, being a woman and just having lots of confidence. I'm at a place now, you know, I done reached the halfway mark, you know. So now I'm kind of like, it is what it is. And I'm great, right?
Right.
Everything I do is great. Even when I make a mistake, I'm still great, right? You know,
I think
everybody should have it. I think everybody should have it because we're our first introduction to us. Okay, I feel my preach coming on. Let me slow down a little bit.
Yeah, see, this is the thing though. There are always going to be disgruntled, unhappy people. It's just the nature of mankind.
Right, but how we treat ourselves is very important. I'm sorry.
I mean, just to make themselves feel better about themselves, they have to make you feel less than.
Okay.
Because everybody's happy for you when you're doing well. You can be doing better, but you just can't be doing better than them.
Right. Now,
you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let them think. We want you to do better, just not better than me.
Right. But
so, you know, it's going to be haters when you're doing well, or you're doing something that you love, or you're doing something that seems to be bringing you accolades or praise or attention, and they're not getting it. You know, if they want a piece of the pie, they're going to try to tear you down. It's just what miserable people do. Hurt people hurt people.
Right. I agree. And I'm going to say to the listeners, y'all go read Psalms 34, 35, and 36 if you're a hater, because God will take care of you in a special way. So anyway, how was it being in
House? Threaten them with the book.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you, sir, all I speak, right? Everybody who's listening, my crew, they know. I speak English, my opinion, and my Bible. And that's it. You know, those are my languages.
Hey, okay. Hey, trilingual.
Right. Oh, stop. Okay, so how was it being in House of Cards, which was a big Netflix series?
Well, it was a very eye-opening experience because, of course, I got to deal with some very big names. That was my first experience being thrust in a position of, wow, this is a big deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, millions of people are going to be watching this.
Yeah.
Not just, okay, you got the market share of this particular demographic. Like, everybody's watching. Everybody. Worldwide. Like, this is a global hit show.
Right.
And, you know, the difference in the sets and the wardrobe and the makeup and even the food that they served you was, like, astronomically different. Like, just exponentially different experience. And you got to rub shoulders and pick the brains of big-time actors.
Right.
They were incredibly humble and incredibly accommodating to a small fish in
the
pond.
Right.
And they really did, you know, leave the door open for questions and, you know, to give advice. It was wonderful. It really fortified my desire to move forward in the business.
All right. Now, have you since, you said you came in with no experience. Have you since began acting classes and courses to enhance your gift, or are you still on, you know, I hit the ground running?
Oh, no. I'm confident, but I'm not a fool. I had an amazing acting coach who's based out of Marietta, Georgia. He used to be in L.A. He's an extremely accomplished actor. His name is Josh Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my man, Josh. And he has a company called Door D Creative Acting Studio in Marietta, Georgia. And I literally, because I retired from Southwest Airlines, so I literally would fly down there every week for acting classes. I would fly down there and turn right back around and come back the next morning.
Wow.
Every week to Atlanta. Fly to Atlanta, get a rental car, drive to Marietta, come back. And, you know, I'm a starving artist at this point. So I would come back, sleep in the car at a McDonald's parking lot, which was like a quarter mile from the airport, so I could return a rental car.
Right.
And, you know, middle of the night, I get hungry. It was a 24-hour McDonald's. I jump up out of, you know, I got the seat reclined. It's like, you know, because I didn't have a hotel buddy every week. So, you know, I'm running into McDonald's to grab a McDouble because I'm eating off the dollar menu. Scarf that down and a dollar fry. And then in the morning, get up and drop the car off and jump back on the plane. So, you know, it was an eye-opening experience about, you know, the dedication that I needed to, you know, hone my craft more. And I'm not done. Like, I'm going to start back flying down there to, you know, continue my classes with Josh. And I've done online stuff with him. He's amazing. You guys have to look him up. His name's Josh Doherty. He is amazing. And he also does incredible headshots. He's a multi-talented guy.
Okay.
And you'll know his face immediately because he's been in everything. Since a teenager. So he's been a blessing in my life and we've become friends. We kicked it off, like hit it off right away, like immediately.
Right.
And just been an endowment in my life.
That's all right. I know how important it is to definitely maintain your craft and continue to train and continue to keep going, you know, to make sure you're giving the audience. Sometimes with people who watch other great people, don't realize the work and dedication. So we spoke about HBO, Netflix, and you did the, was that a TV show for my man on TV One?
Yeah, I've done a bunch of episodes of that, and even one called For My Woman, which they don't even do anymore. I did one episode of that.
Okay.
So it's sort of a reenactment of, it's a drama kind of thing, where people commit crimes for their significant other.
Oh, Lord.
And they get caught. They tell those stories. And these stories are super interesting. Let me tell you, some of them are off the hook and you can't believe they're true, but they're all true stories.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, you know, COVID came and left and, you know, everything got shut down.
Well, it's not gone yet. I mean, you're speaking into existence, but it's not gone yet.
Yeah, no, I know it's still around. But I'm just saying, you know, as things have opened up, now going back into the arena, how do you feel? And are you comfortable working with other actors? Is the energy or just the requirements to even be in the room so dramatically changed with mask or, you know, your COVID card?
So let me tell you. So I was in a production. It was a Lee Daniels production. It was a pilot that he was filming called The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
It's a remake of an old film.
And he was shopping it to FX, and I recently found out that they didn't pick it up, but he's going to continue to shop it around the other networks. It's Lee Daniels. It's going to get picked up, but he's going to go with a different writer. It was a totally different experience because it was still in the height of COVID. We all had to be masked up the entire time between, you know, when they say action, and then you pull, you know, you yank your mask off and you go into your scene. And then as soon as they say cut, you got to throw your mask back on. So it was tiring.
Oh,
it was
wow.
an exhausting process. And it was long days. And even when we did outdoor scenes, everyone had to be masked up. That was just a requirement in the state of Maryland. So, you know, when you're in close proximity with people, of course, you want to protect yourself, but
right.
also others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did COVID testing was, for every production I've been involved with since the pandemic began, they test you every 72 hours. If you don't get tested within that window, you have to start all over again. So basically, you can't act that day.
Oh,
so
okay.
The test has to be, as a matter of fact, it's 48 hours. So every 2 days, you had to take another swab. Every 2 days.
Oh, my
goodness. Whether you were on set or not. Yeah, if you were playing or acting Monday, you had to get swabbed Saturday.
Right.
Because if you got tested Friday, the results were irrelevant by the time Monday came around. Too long. So, yeah, it was 48 hours. So even on my days off, I had to be involved. Now, of course, we got paid for every time we got swabbed. But it was like, it became a daunting thing. You had, battle downtown traffic or whatever to get there to the testing center.
Oh, wow.
Stand in lines and be tested. You know, it was a lot. But
right.
everyone who was very serious about the role, of course, they met the requirement.
Right.
You know, and it was for everyone.
Yeah.
So we all understood the importance of it and definitely took that to heart and took it seriously.
So now as you're continuing on, is there a role that you would love to play that you haven't played yet?
Let me tell you, anything, and I hope she hears this, or she might hear it through the grapevine, anything that Shonda Rhimes is involved with, I'm down. Shonda, call me.
Okay, I will make sure she get it.
The twist to her stuff, like, I'm so engrossed in this How to Get Away with Murder thing.
Right.
It's mind-blowing, the writing that goes into this show. You know, it's like Pulp Fiction on steroids.
Yes.
You're jumping back and forth through time, and just to keep up with it, it's like 80 million subplots. It's incredible. I would love to be involved with that. And, of course, anything that Marvel does, I'm a nerd. At heart, and I'm in like the best shape of my life. I'll be 49 this year.
Okay.
I'm constantly in the gym 7 days a week. I'm ripped. I'm ready to be a superhero. Please, before I get too old, I'll be an old bald superhero. But let me tell you, I'll be ripped up. The Rock, look out. I'm with it. Please, the Marvel, call me. I love Marvel films, and I'm a comic book just nerd, anime nerd. I love that genre. So I would love to be involved with the totality of it. Everything.
Yeah, well, I think you will on your way. You know, you keep your dedication will open up the doors, as you know, the church girls say, your gifts will make room for you, and they have, and so they will continue. So
I pray that that is correct, and I really appreciate it.
Amen, amen. And as we have spoken, so it shall be. Okay, Randolph, I said cut it out. Now don't we're trying to do the interview here, sir. Okay. Trying to do the interview. Now, are you interested in actually, let's say, producing your own film, or one, you said you really don't like stage plays, but like a one-man show or anything like that?
And of course you're asking me. I think I'm pretty funny, so I would love to do some comedic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've played comedic roles, but I would completely, completely love to do stuff where I would write and produce my own thing. Baltimore's gotten a lot of press about crime and police's dereliction of duty and even discrimination and so many negative things. But there's beauty in the chaos here. There's a reason why I've moved away and come back. I love my city.
Wow.
There's 10 million stories of positivity that are still here that have not been told.
Yes.
That I believe are stories of triumph and victory over our surroundings. And that the young Black people and underrepresented youth and of all minorities
right.
need to see those stories as well. You know, they need to see that there are lights at the end of their tunnels.
Right.
I think that those stories are necessary to tell, and I would love to be the person that would tell them, because I've seen it from both ends of the spectrum. I've done my time in the street, and, you know, I'm from the hoodiest of hoods. You might not be able to tell, but look, listen, life for me ain't been no Christmas day, I'm going to let you know.
Right.
So, you know, and still isn't. You know, every day I struggle to do certain things, and I'm a dad, and there are lots of things that I still want and need to accomplish in life.
Right.
But that's the beauty of life. Every day that you're above ground is another opportunity to get it right. And I want to tell those stories about, you know, these struggles and the beauty at the end of that rainbow. You know, that there can be a pot of gold. It's not just despair. And, oh, everything is just this treadmill, this
right.
treadmill in the city like this. You don't have to be swallowed up and escape the bigger and better thing. And I would love to tell those stories.
Wow, that's great. And I agree with you, because every time I see the drug dealer movies, I'm like, they still sell drugs? And I'm sure, yeah, they do, of course. You know, you got fentanyl out there and they're still gangsters. But, you know, I'm just kind of like, where's the accomplished black people? All black people aren't gangsters, prostitutes, and thugs. You know, we got doctors, we got
Agreed.
Judges, right? We have...
Agreed.
People
Agreed.
That's doing some great. Where they biopics?
Supreme Court justice.
That's
Supreme
what I'm saying.
Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
No less.
Right. Where's their biopic? Well, Agreed. I guess it's going to be up to me and you, Randolph. I think maybe you and I just need to sit on down and make this happen.
I'm totally with it. If it's positive, if it's something that we can build together. And that's another thing. Like, community is not just limited by zip code. You know, we as minorities, and we have resources and we have, you know, commonality, and we can pull those resources and build great things together.
Yes.
But, you know, people get caught up in this struggle and they get caught up in this survival mode, and it becomes an every man for himself mentality. And if we just built this collective, this collaborative effort could be just something that's just historical. I truly believe that.
I think we're heading towards that, because I think society overall, you know, with the market dropping and COVID and just the struggle is becoming so real, I promise you, we're not going to have nothing else to do but come together for survival, you know. So I really believe that a lot of great things are ahead for our community. Just being a journalist and having the Urban Buzz magazine, finding the diamonds in the rough and just connecting, just like you and I think that, you know, and given that exposure, that people are going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, I think we should do A, B, and C together, because it's needed, you know, it's needed. I can't take another housewife show or hip hop. I cannot. And I'm not, I want everybody to work and have a job. Like we were saying, at some point, you know, and if y'all don't want to.
Other facets of life.
Yeah. And if
we
y'all
can do other things.
Right. And if y'all don't want to, give Randolph and myself the budget and we will do we'll spin that for you. We'll spin it for you.
Expeditiously.
Right. That's right. Expeditiously. Oh, man. So what's next for you, Randolph?
Who knows? I mean, I'm praying that, you know, this last project will get me more of a buzz. I just picked up a new management team, publicist. So I'm really about to put it out there.
Okay.
Your spokesmodel for a brand. Okay. I can't put all that out in the air just yet.
Right.
It's going to be a big deal with a surprise. So I've got a lot of stuff on the horizon that I can't wait to be able to share with you and others.
Right.
But just know that some big stuff's popping.
Okay. Now, talk about as an actor, because I know I have some people who are listening right now and, you know, they always want to know, how do I get in the business, though? What's the process? And ain't nobody going to put me on. Can you help them for me? Can you help them?
I've got to tell you, so social media is a huge resource.
Okay.
You can go onto Facebook and just go in the search bar and look up any kind of acting pages. There are community pages with actors, and they'll say, are you an actor, are you a producer, a director, whatever you feel like your fit is. And they'll confirm that you're a real person, not a bot, and let you into the group. From there, people are posting auditions, people are posting table reads, people are posting, hey, I need a screenwriter, hey, I need a cameraman, all this stuff. It's a wealth of groups out there that are constantly, and let me tell you, to get your feet wet, some of it's going to be unpaid, but you need to get it for your reel, because you have a reel that you can take that film and use it to shop yourself around and say, hey, this is what I've done. Take a look at this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times, especially if you're doing it pro bono, they'll give you that footage for free. Mm-hmm. And you can take that and give it to casting directors and say, okay, this is what I've done. Get your, invest in some good headshots. Okay. Do not take your prom picture. Invest in some good headshots. Go do some pro bono stuff and get your feet wet. See what the environment's like. Right. Understand what it means to have set etiquette. Understand the process. Learn about the process first. Because I'm telling you, you will get on set and embarrass yourself. Wow. If you act inappropriately, if you do something that's, you know, unwritten taboo, there are so many facets to it that you have to learn first to be successful. And people will see your level of professionalism walking in the door. They might quietly appreciate it, but they will appreciate it. And you will get called back.
Okay. Now, do you need a manager for a callback? And can you talk to us about the SAG situation? Is that necessary? And when? Because, you know, do you just run and be like, I'm a SAG actor and you ain't been nowhere?
Everything is a situational thing. Okay. Everything is circumstantial. So if you're pulling in enough roles where it supports financially the move to pay for SAG membership, then by all means, do it. What I would suggest, until you start getting bigger roles and getting paid an amount that would justify that kind of investment, especially if you're not just like some trust fund baby or something, go ahead and build up your resume first. And then once you've got a decent resume, you can start looking for a manager. Okay. Look for an agent. But for the first 3 to 4 years, I had no agent. Every role I booked was on my own or with the help of casting directors that had seen me and believed in my talent. Shout out to Thea Washington. She was incredibly instrumental in casting me for it. And she's here. She's from Baltimore. She actually attended the same high school that I attended, Baltimore City College High School, which is the most amazing high school in the world. Shout out to Baltimore City College High School. And Thea Washington was just an incredible down-to-earth person. She can just read people and say, hey, you know what? I think you'd be perfect for this or that. And she's an amazing talent. She's a great casting director. But you once you develop those kind of relationships, it's invaluable as far as getting your foot in the door and getting thrown out there for new roles, for different types of roles. You know, try not to constantly take the same kind of thing every time, because you'll get sort of typecast.
Right.
Okay, every time we want a burglar, here's you. You know, so you don't necessarily want to do that. Yeah, you don't want to do that. But, you know, you have to be selective about what you want to do. And you have to have a vision. That's part one. Like, what do you want to achieve? Don't let anyone needle you into taking roles that you don't want to take, you know, but also expand your mind and push yourself beyond what you think are your limitations.
Right.
Challenge yourself to take roles that you might not think you're good for, but a casting director does this for a living. They can see something in you and thought you were good for that. Go for it. Just do your best with it.
Now, how do you get a casting director? And what's the difference for an actor to have a manager, and do they need a casting director, or is the casting director just someone different that the manager deals with?
So a casting director works for the production themselves. They don't have any kind of dedication to you personally.
Oh, okay.
They just are casting for that production, and they might know an actor that fits the bill. Okay. And they say, okay, we want a guy that looks like this, that sounds like this, that has this kind of swag, or can pull this off. Well, who has that kind of character type, you know? And do you have a guy that will fit that mold?
Okay.
And they'll say, oh, you know what? I know just the person. Okay. Or they'll put out a listing and say, hey, I'm casting for this. If you want to throw your hat in the ring, send me your headshots and your reels and your resumes to blah, blah, blah email, and I'll look it over. And they take it to the actual director and say, hey, I think this guy's perfect or that gal's perfect.
Right.
And let's try them out. Let's bring them in to reinforce. That kind of thing.
A lot of people in Hollywood, or, you know, actors are constantly complaining about pay scales on their counterparts. How do you feel when you're positioned to play a role and your salary? You don't have to give a number, but just that experience as a Black male.
Ooh, that's a good question. To me, trying to build a resume mm-hmm. is paramount.
Okay.
So I'm going to survive regardless.
Right.
Whether, you know, I'm beyond the point where I'm going to take three roles and don't get that twisted. but yeah, I'm not doing favors at this point. But I think I'm humble enough to know that I still got growth and I want to be involved with certain things. So if it's something that I have read the script and the synopsis is something that I would really like to be involved with, what you got?
Okay.
We can figure it out.
Okay.
You know, we can figure it out because I'm not going to pass up this opportunity to be seen as something that I think is just going to be a magnanimous experience all the time.
Wow.
For something that's misleading is money. Money comes and goes.
True.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
You might get paid $1 million for this role and $100 a day to be an extra where your face is seen in something with big time people and then you're discovered. So
wow, that was good.
You know, it can happen. I've seen it happen. So.
Wow. That was excellent. That was an excellent answer and awesome. Yeah. And then you could get paid $1 million for a role and then don't get another role for another 5-10 years.
Be a total bomb and people are like, ugh. And now you're associated with something that's like, oh, he was that guy in that horrible flick. Well, yeah, you sold out for something that you didn't believe in and it didn't pay off.
Right, so, right.
Do what you believe in. Do what you love. Do what you believe in. If you believe in a script, go for it. I don't care what they're paying. Like, that. Is that really as important as doing something where you don't feel comfortable or doing something where you're like, I don't believe in this. I don't want my kids to see me in this. I don't want my family to watch this. I don't believe in this role. I don't like the writing. I don't think this is something that portrays my people in a good light. I don't like, you know, there's just so many things that would make me turn something down.
Right, right. Woo.
Oh, one thing I want to make clear.
Okay.
Is I do not have a problem playing a criminal, right? And I'll tell you why. It's because I think that, no, seriously, because it has to have a why, though.
Okay.
It can't just be, I'm just a criminal for the hell of it, because I'm a black, bald-head guy that fits the description. The story, to me, has to tell a why, a origin story, some level of the person's pain. It has to explain their motivation. It has to talk to the audience about their struggles. What made them become this?
Right.
What were the stimuli? What were the experiences they had? Even if the story doesn't tell it, I can tell it with my acting. You can discern a lot of things about a person just by facial expression, just by the pain that they show you through their reaction to things.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And see what are hot buttons, what are things that move them in a positive way and negative way. There's so many cues that you can take from a story and say, oh, well, that must mean, oh, you know, this person had a bad experience as a child, or this person, I could tell that they went through something horrible. You know, something has to have some rhyme or reason. I'm just not going to be this stereotypical thug just because.
Right. All right. Tell me, what's one of your favorite films of all times?
One of my favorite films of all time. So many.
I know, so but what's one you can definitely do on repeat?
The Usual Suspects.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Kevin Spacey. I know. But
no, it's okay. It's okay.
Just a magnificently acted film. Everyone involved was just genius level in that movie. The writing, the set, the prettiness of it. Just the absolute twist off.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is Beautiful Mind. I really like that film. I could watch that over and
okay.
over.
Okay, yeah, definitely on the top 10.
Yeah, and my favorite black exploitation film is, well, actually, I like them all, but I would have to put Sparkle and Which Way Is Up on that list.
Really?
Yeah, I love those films, I tell you, you know. The Mac, all of that. I love it. I absolutely love it. Randolph, I had so much fun speaking with you.
I'm a Goldie fan. But yes, I have had a wonderful time. This has been a great interview. I'm so glad that we've been able to chat.
Yeah.
And I'm honored that you took the time to speak with me and ask me about my life and my career. And it really means a lot.
Man, that's what we
do. I wish you the best in your endeavor as well.
Thank you. But that's why we say we are where key players speak. And so welcome to the Key Player family. As I say, once a key player, always a key player. I have a mafia mentality. I'm not going to let you go. So if I see any of your posts, if any of my assistants, someone sees your post and you're going to be somewhere, something, we always repost it because we just do that because we love you. Tell people how they can connect with you on social media.
Okay, so to be honest, I'm not on as much as I used to be, but that's what publicists are for, and I'm going to definitely work on that for future reference. But you can look me up. I'm at my limit on Facebook, but you can look for me. But it's just Randolph John Cockrell Jr. That's my Facebook profile, and on Instagram, I'm Randolph Cockrell Jr. On IG. So
okay,
yeah, pretty easy. You're not, listen, you put in Randolph Cockrell, trust me, there's only one, Randolph Cockrell.
That's all right. Well, thank you so much. Continue to have a wonderful day. And again, we appreciate you here.
Likewise. Thank you, Nigeria. Have a great day.